Good evening, everybody. It's good to see you here. We're going to go ahead and get started. Come on in, have a seat, find your table. Some of you are wondering, who is this guy? I do know some of you. My name is Bubba Bonner. I am the devoted, ground-worshipping husband of Sonia Bonner. I know, you're thinking, who in the world could have married her? Well, you're looking at it. And I ask myself that daily. People see her all the time. They say, Sonia, you look so good. Are you working out? Are you dying? Yeah. Bubba, are you work out? Well, yeah. Well, you know, your face looks thinner. And so I say, well, how big was my head? What friend is going to let another friend walk around with a big old head? But I am very blessed to be married to a great woman. I tell our boys, if you marry a woman half as good as her, you'll be all right. In fact, yes, go ahead, I'll take that. I'm with you, brother. In fact, I'm so proud, I'm not going to point them out because they would die and melt into the carpet. But I have two of my children here, and I'm telling you, let me hear you. Because here's the thing. Everybody in here have children. I am so pleased that the five of ours, they understand what it is to be a Christian. And we're very proud of all of our children. Our youngest daughter is here. She's a dental assistant. She works at the Heart Institute. She is the only person I know that can reach down your throat and pull your heart out. So be very careful with her. I'm not going to tell you who she is. And my son works for the power company. He has the God complex look. Let there be light. And believe me, if you have your lights out, I'm not the person to call. I have to have a work order just like you. Sad deal. Sad deal. Hey, we're going to talk about a few things real quick, and then we're going to have a testimony of a wonderful lady that I've had the opportunity to serve with for many years. It's about the retreat. I know you hear a lot about this retreat. We can't really tell you a lot about the retreat because we want you to experience it and go into it with an open heart, palms up. You have the opportunity to go ahead and start paying. You can pay online. You can meet with the staff in the back, and they will help you take care of that. I cannot stress to you the importance of being able to wrap up the entire encounter program with that retreat. It is the cherry on top of the hot fudge sundae. You understand what I'm saying? You understand. Yeah, she's got a big grin. Yeah, they have sundaes? Well, they might. I can't tell you everything. But to give you a little more in depth, I'm going to ask Lisa Willman. Let's hear it for Lisa. This is a great lady right here. She's going to give you a little bit of a testimony on what it's all about.
Okay. So this will be, God, there's a lot of faces. Ooh. Stay close.
What now?
Stay close. There's a lot of people out here. It makes me nervous.
Look above their head.
I know. I'm looking at my table. I'm looking at all my ladies. I told them to pray for me while I'm up here. So the first, this will be my fifth encounter retreat to go to. And I will tell you guys, I am more excited or as excited about this one than I am about the first one. Because every time it's something different. Every time God does something different. And I know we all get up here and say, well, we can't tell you a lot about the retreat, and it makes it sound like super, like, secretive and weird, but we do that because we don't want you guys to have any preconceived ideas going into the retreat of what God will or won't do or what he did for somebody else, and so you expect that for you, because he's going to do what he's going to do, and he's going to do exactly what you need him to. Anything that you've been asking for leading up to the retreat, I promise you, as sure as I'm standing here, you will not leave disappointed. Everybody's encounter is different, but everybody's encounter is huge. I will tell you that the first one I went to, like a lot of you, the first one you're going into, I had 1,000 reasons why I shouldn't go. it costs too much, or I really didn't need to spend that money. But we'll spend money on our hair and our nails, ladies. Guys, we'll spend money on our guns and your tires and your cars. Not my guns. So if you can do that, then I hit a nerve. If you can do that, you can invest money into yourself, into your future, because you will come back. I promise you guys, you're going to come back with a realization, number one, of who you are, and knowing what your path looks like from this point on. Even if it's a glimpse, you're going to know. You're going to know that you know. So I guess, and now I'm to the point where I'm babbling. Remember, I told you guys I'll just get nervous and start babbling, so here I go, I'm babbling. But please, 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 pray about it. There wouldn't be anything cooler than for every person in this room to be there. And I want you all to be there. So please, please pray about it. Find a way, make a way. Ask somebody to help you make a way. But just go. You won't regret it. Promise you.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you. It is very imperative. It's not for the numbers. It's not about quantity, it's about quality. And that is the quality that you have the opportunity to experience. This week, in some of my quiet time, the Lord really impressed upon me something, just a very simple phrase, and it's possess the land. Possess the land. That's what we have to do. When you hear the word possess, I don't mean possessed, where your head spins around and you spew green stuff, or the neighbor's dog that barks for no apparent reason, but it is possess the land. Possess means to go in, to take, to conquer, to push out. For you to do that. The Israelite people came out of Egypt. They wandered around in the desert for 40 years, and there was a purpose to that, because the Lord was preparing their armies, preparing their mindsets, preparing them to get ready to what they had to do in that land of promise that they were going to get, they were going to possess. Now, what I'm saying is just simply this. You may be in the desert right now. Your fault, my fault, nobody's fault. That's what happened with them, dealing with things that maybe they didn't understand. But I'm going to tell you something, and you listen very carefully. It is time for you to understand that this is your opportunity to cross the Red Sea on dry land into the land that the Lord has promised for you to possess. You understand that? To possess it. You don't go in that land. You don't compromise. You don't allow some of the bad habits to continue to stay there. You don't allow some of the bad friends that are bad influences on you to stay there. You go in there and you push out the evil that has been possessing your territory. Do you understand that? It's not because of who you are. It's not because of the strength that you have. It's not because of the knowledge that you gain. It is simply because of whose you are. You understand that? It's whose you are. Now, once you understand that, and you understand the tools and the weapons that you have, God's work is God's book. His Bible, it is the workshed where you get the tools to build that family, to build that faith, to build those relationships. It is that arsenal that you go in and then you get your weapons to defeat, to kill Satan's attacks, to defend your neighbor, to pray and protect your family. Do you understand? And tonight you're going to learn another weapon, another tool that will give you the ability to do that. Do you understand that? And it is because God loves you. Now, I know there's some of you in here, you've been struggling. That's normal. They struggled while they were in the desert. But it was preparing them for the great thing that they were about to receive. And as the scripture ended last week, Galatians 6:9, while doing good works, don't you quit. Don't you give up. For in due season, you're going to cross over through on dry land, the Red Sea, if you don't quit. And there ain't nobody going to quit in here. You're this close. You're standing on the bank and you can see it on the other side. And there's been years where you never thought there was even another side to it, but I'm here to tell you that there is. And you are going to get into the promised land that the Lord has given you, and you will possess it. Amen. Now, without any further ado, I have a friend of mine that you know very well. This man's lost over 130-something pounds because of his dedication and devotion, and one of the best cooks I know. Best cooks I know. This man is one of the best leaders. You're very blessed to have him and his whole staff. Give them a big round of applause right now. These guys pray and intercede for you and do things that you're not even aware of. They have built a team that will continue to serve, and some of you out there will be a part of it one day. This guy, he is intent, he's intentional, but also, and the most important thing, he's genuine, and he truly cares and loves for you. Give it up for Justin Lindsay.
All right. Well, it's great. Well, look at here. A trap has been set for me to fall over. And I don't know that Dan's in the shape to pick me up. He's working on it, though. Hey, I'm glad to be here tonight. It's great to see all these beautiful faces. And, hey, this has been a privilege to get to this point. But, hey, we're just getting started. We really are. And I got something pretty cool for you tonight. So the first, let's chat just a little bit. What? Thank you, dear. Crystal said, I ain't picking him up. I better get this paper. What if we talked about the first 3 weeks? What did we talk about week one? Come on. What is it? Identity. How to encounter God. Identity. That was week one. What was week two? Alignment. There you go. Now you're picking up what I'm putting down. What was week three? Walking in the Spirit. Hey, these, all three of these, great applications. Great necessities in a spiritual walk. Necessity for a successful relationship with Jesus, but we have all of these applications. The thing I love about Timber Creek is we don't just teach application. We don't just talk about these things in order for you to do. We're going to give you the proper tools to do them. Because you can know how to build a house, but if you don't have the right tools to build that house, you can't build the house. And so what we want to do is we don't want to just give you hand tools. We want to give you power tools. See, I was not blessed with the ability to build anything, really. Just to be honest, me and power tools don't go hand in hand. I got one drill, and it may get used like twice a year. And it's because I'm really no good at it. Me and power tools don't go hand in hand in the outside world. But I can tell you what power tools do in the spiritual world. And I love power tools in the spiritual world because I don't like to just keep beating on the same thing. I like power tools. I like to see God move in my life. I want to know that when I have these applications put in front of me, and I have these applications that I know if I implement them into my life, that this is going to happen and God's going to move and this is going to be removed and I'll see vision in this and this and this and freedom from this. And these are all applications. What about, how do I do this? What tools can I implement to make this happen? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And tonight we're talking about fasting. It's one of the most powerful tools in your spiritual toolbox. Fasting does something in the physical that translates in the supernatural. And then that's reversed too, that what happens in the supernatural, you begin to see manifest itself in the physical. That's what I love about fasting. Because what basically is a fast? Well, what a fast is, it's basically in its purest form, is fasting is the practice from abstaining from food. It's separating yourself from food. It's either completely or partially for a specific period. The spiritual discipline of fasting combined with prayer is available to strengthen you spiritually and to help you overcome barriers that might keep you from living the victorious Christian life. But listen, fasting without prayer is just dieting or starving yourself, okay? That's all it is. So the very first fill in the blank that we're going to talk about tonight is prayer is connecting to God. Fasting is disconnecting from the world. Praying to God, disconnecting from the world. Praying is connecting to God. Fasting is disconnecting from the world. So what are we doing? The things of the world... Do they have to be bad? No. I love the fish. It's of the world. I love to cook and eat. It's of the world. But they're not horrible things in my life, but there's things in my life that I have to disconnect from so I can connect to the right power source so these things begin to happen in my life. Well, that's what prayer and fasting does. See, when I just fast, when I say, you know what, I'm going to step away and I'm going to fast. Let's just say I'm going to fast Cokes all week long. All right. When we fast Cokes all week long, but we don't pair it with prayer, we're just starving ourselves of Coke. There's no benefit to it spiritually. Is there a benefit to it physically? Yeah, Coke's terrible for you. So if you're drinking Cokes, quit. Unless it's Diet Pepsi, then that's from the Lord. Amen. Woo. But when you take that fast and you pair it with prayer, now what you've done is you're starving yourself of something. You're removing something from your life that you like, all right, that's a consistent factor in your life, and you're replacing it with prayer. No, you're pairing it with prayer. So now during that fasting time, when your body's saying, go get a Coca-Cola Classic. You know, like at the movies, them jokers are so smart. Like when you're watching the big screen and they have that big bubbling Coke that comes up and it has the no, and it makes Coke look amazing. Half the people in the audience are getting up going to buy a Coke and they got one just because it looks so good. Well, when we take things that look so good and the things that are so appealing to us and get rid of them, and we take prayer and pair it with us, it begins to weaken the spirit and strengthen the flesh. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So there's four kinds of fast. There's a beautiful thing about God. See, these fasts were created by God from the beginning. All right, what did Jesus do right before he started his ministry? For 40 days, what did he do? He fasted. He was on a 40-day fast. God understood how important fasting was going to be. He understood it so much that he has these four overall basic fasts that meet the needs of everybody, to the point where he knew we would need them in 2020. Look at here. So the first one is the complete fast. So the complete fast is going without food for a definite period. The duration can be one or more days. So basically it's where he says, all right, for 24 hours, I'm not going to have no food or none of this or none of that. Okay, that's a complete fast. Now there's different kind of complete fasts. We're fixing to talk about those. Judges 20 and 26 says, then the Israelites, all the people went up to Bethel, and there they sat weeping before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening and presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord. They fasted that day. They took that day and they set that day aside and they spent time with the Lord. So they fasted their food during the day. And I know why food is such a vital part of the fast from back in the day, because, you know, they didn't have a lot of the stuff that we have. I mean, they got to eat when they got to eat. They were opportunistic eaters. They didn't have McDonald's and Whataburger in Jesus' time. They had to either hunt it, kill it, cook it, clean it, you know, prepare it. So they just didn't have microwaves. They didn't have a way to store food like we did. So food was a big deal to them, a huge deal. And so when they took away food, that was taking away a big part of their life. So that's the reason why it was such a vital thing to give up. Biblical fasts were held for 1 day, 3 days, 1 week, 1 month, or even 40 days. Then there's the absolute fast, and this is going without food or water and should be short. Now, there's one in the Bible called the Moses 40-day fast. Listen, if any of y'all feel led to do the Moses 40-day fast, you might want to test that spirit. Okay? What do I mean by test that spirit? You might want to spend some time in prayer, because really, physically, a 40-day absolute fast, complete fast with no food or water, if it's not of God, it could kill you, because your body has needs. So if it's not God truly calling you to a 40-day fast, I know God hasn't called me to a 40-day fast yet. And when he does, I'm going to pray about it for at least a year or two. I want to make sure that's Jesus. I'm going to test that spirit. And when we're going over these, I want to say this about fasting. Fasting is, listen, I think fasting's been taught wrong, not at this church, for the people for a long time. It's not about how hard your fast is. It's the condition of your heart in your fast. All right, we can't work hard enough to get Jesus to show up more in our life. It's not if I hurt this much more, if I strain this much more, give up this much. It's not. It's about the condition of your heart when you're going through these fasts. And it's just about you saying, all right, God, I want to give something up that I like or something that's important to me so I can see you move. Better yet, I'm going to give up something that's important to me so I can experience you more. That's what fasting is. So don't get hung up on how big and hard the fast is. Well, I've been on a 21-day Daniel fast. Okay, great. That's awesome. And when you're going around telling people about all the fasting you've been on, you're doing it with the wrong motive. You're taking that fast and making it about your pain. It's not about your pain. It's about what you receive in a deficit. In that deficit, God says, where you're weak, I'm strong. God wants us to be in a deficit so he can operate at a higher level. Because when we're operating at these insane levels of our own self, we've reached this capacity in our life, as God says, well, there's no room for me in there. Sometimes we have to remove these things, a lot of the times. Number two is the selective fast. This is how brilliant God is. The selective fast, I call this the customizable fast, because you can customize the selective fast. It basically includes omitting certain foods for a certain period of time. So, you know, there was John the Baptist and his three friends. John the Baptist eat locust and honey. I mean, please, Lord, no. Watch, he'll say, Justin, I need you to go on a cricket and honey fast. Okay, I'm going to test that one for about a year and a half, too. So selective fasts are for people with health issues. So listen, if you have your hypoglycemic or you have issues that you have to have certain foods, if you have a problem with your blood sugar or whatever it may be, all right, whatever, you get to customize this thing. You get to customize it to where it's not unhealthy. Fasts aren't supposed to be unhealthy. And you get to customize it for your life, okay? So that's one of the things that that's one of the things that God seen. I told you he set this precedent for us from the beginning. He says, you know what? There's going to be some that can't do this fast or this fast. Let me make one that we can customize because I just want their heart. I just want effort. I want to get everybody to be able to give something up so that I can be greater in them. So that was the selective fast. The third one, it's a partial fast. This is the one, the partial fast, is I believe should be part of our a weekly thing in our life. I believe this should be part of our normal everyday routine or weekly routine. But a partial fast involves avoiding all or certain foods periodically. So you may like give up a meal. So I know a lot of people that fast like on a Tuesday. And they'll say, okay, I'm going to fast lunch on a Tuesday and spend that time in prayer. Why is that important? So we got church on Sunday. Monday, all of a sudden, we hit the ground, and we all know the world hits us in the face. We got kids and jobs, relationships, bills, and all of that, everything. Then you come around on Tuesday. And about midday Tuesday, if we'll take it, resets us. We says, you know what? I'm going to make fasting a weekly thing in my life, and every Tuesday, I'm going to fast breakfast, lunch, dinner, or Coke, or whatever it is in your life. And I'm going to spend that time with God. It resets us. Because I truly firmly believe in staying in the presence of God. I truly believe in walking in the Spirit daily, walking with Christ daily. So you got church on Sunday. You got Monday as a regular day. You should be reading the Word, studying, praying, worship. But you come into Tuesday, and you have that time with God where you say, you know what, I'm going to take this time, I'm going to set it apart, and consistently do this. And I've said this, and one of my dearest friends who spoke this saying to me, Miss Michaela McKee, is consistency compounds, and I think that's brilliant. Thank you, Michaela. Raise your hand. She's not in here. She dipped on me. Whatever, Michaela. I'll make sure I point her out just a little bit. But when we consistently do that on a Tuesday, what it does is it becomes part of our routine. And we know, hey, on Tuesday, I'm going to step away from lunch, and I'm going to spend that time with God. It resets us. It resets our life. It resets our mentality. It resets the way we think. And it also slows us down and it gets us back to center. What is center? Alignment. You see how this is a tool that works for alignment? All right? We're Sunday, Monday, couple bumps. Okay, Tuesday, I'm getting centered back up. Wednesday, I ought to be in one of the grow tracks. I ought to be leading a group. Some of y'all need to be leading a group. I ought to be in a group. I ought to be involved in something, okay? And then maybe Thursday, Friday, I don't know what it is, but you get to customize that. But I think that it should be weekly part of our deal, a partial fast, so it brings us back to center.
And I love the fact that, the idea of it bringing me back to center in the God, because we have so much of our life happening, jobs and children and just, oh, we live in such a fast-paced society that sometimes we just need to stop, slow down, get recentered, and say, okay, God, I can keep moving forward. Because when we don't, we drift to the left and to the right. And then number four is a so fast. Now, some of you, all of y'all need to hear this one. A so fast, looky here, if you don't think God wasn't brilliant in writing these out, look at this, what a so fast is. It's based around a theme in your life or a specific situation. This can be fasting something other than food to remind you of the things that need to be tempered or removed from your life. For example, social media, electronic devices, sleeping in, TV, etc. You don't think God wasn't brilliant? I said, I know they're going to be Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchatting, whatever it is. Huh? Hey, if we spent 25% of the time in the Word of God that we do staring at our phones, we'd change the world. A quarter of the time that we spent staring at social media, we'd change the world. No joke. We are engulfed in what other people are doing. We are engulfed in what the world has to say. We're engulfed in what this person's eating for lunch or whatever it is. And I'm not telling y'all, I'm not condemning Facebook or nothing. I gave it up 5 years ago, and the greatest thing I ever did was give up social media. I realized just how much it was consuming my life. I realized just how much every time my car would stop, I'd have to see what somebody was doing. When I'm sitting in the chair trying to have a conversation with my wife or kids, I got my phone in my face. Sitting at dinner, the same thing. And I stepped away from it, and I realized just how valuable and how awesome it is when I took that time and began to spend it with God, how much my life changed. And I quit focusing on what everybody else was doing and started focusing on what God wanted to do in me, and He began to transform my life. Okay? So what does fasting do for believers? See, Jesus modeled and taught believers a lifestyle of fasting. See, He is our example. Matthew 4 and 2 says, after He had gone without food for 40 days and 40 nights, He become hungry. That's when He come. That's after He got baptized. And right before Jesus goes into doing His ministry, what does He do? He fast. He's tempted in the desert, but during that time, He fast. And it says, when you pray and when you fast in Matthew 6 and 5. And look here, I can share this with this room boldly, okay? The greatest fast to me ever was what Jesus did on the cross. Because what's fasting? It's giving up something so that God could be glorified. You ever thought that Jesus fasted His body so that God could be glorified through the cross? Jesus gave up something very precious to Him, His life, so that His Father could be strengthened in His weakness. Come on, guys. Y'all see that? That's powerful. God showed that to me the other night, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to share to you this next point of what else He showed me. I'm going to show you the power of fasting, what it does for us. But when I begin to think, Jesus stepped away from Himself and He gave Himself up so God could be glorified. He fasted His body so God could be glorified, and guess who got all the benefits? We did. That's the power of fasting. That's the power of fasting. So what does fasting do? Number one, it eliminates confusion and brings clarity. It eliminates confusion and it brings clarity. And I want to tie number two into this also. And it also removes obstacles. It eliminates confusion and brings clarity. And it removes obstacles. I left church the other day, and I'm going to tell you, I was in the middle of one of the strongest, heaviest fasts God ever called me to. I'm not going to go into the details of it. But I knew for a fact God was calling me to do this. And there was three things that I was in desperate need of God showing up in my life. I mean, I was desperate for it. And I knew the only thing I could do was pray and fast until God showed up. And I left church, and I was hurting now. I mean, I was hurting. I was hurting physically, spiritually, and mentally, and emotionally. And I was like, you know, God, where are You? And I live in Hudson, and so I was exiting off of the loop right here. And one of the things that I could only eat berries. I couldn't eat food at all. And I'd been doing that for quite some time. And as I pull off of this exit ramp, what's to the left and to the right? You got Jack in the Box and Sonic. Yes, get behind me, Satan. You've got Whataburger and McDonald's on your left. And as I pull off on this deal, this is what God spoke to me. He said, if you'll quit focusing on what's to the left and to the right and look straight ahead, he said, I'll get you there. We get so hung up in our lives on what's to the left and what's to the right and these temporary fixes. Could I have pulled in and got me a hamburger and french fries and eased my deficit? Yeah, but what, it would have been temporary. Down the road, I'd have been hungry and I'd have lived with regret because I stepped away from what I knew God was calling me to do. But there's this pull that says, hey, just fix it temporarily. Put a Band-Aid on it. Put a Band-Aid on it and you'll get started again tomorrow. When God said, hey, quit looking at the pain to the left, to the right. We get so focused on the pain that we can't see the promise. We get so focused on our pain that we can't look at the promise. Is fasting, is there some things that are painful in fasting? You bet. We have to be in a deficit. But God says, if you'll learn to operate in a deficit, I'll give you strength you didn't know. See, God works in reverse economics. He says, if you'll surrender, I'll make you victorious. When you're talking about tithing, he says, if you'll give, you'll receive. Okay, it's called reverse economics. God's saying, if you'll operate in a deficit, I'll make you stronger because that's where I show up. But we get so consumed by what's over here to the left and what's over here to the right. And he says, if you'll stay on this straight line and look down the road, keep your eyes focused on me. I'm your promise. I'm the thing that's going to deliver you. I'm the thing that's going to show up in your life. I'm the thing that's going to give you the only thing that can give you truly what you need. That thing that you're looking for, that thing that you desire, I'm the only thing that can produce that. Nothing else can produce that in your life. So all of a sudden, instead of looking over to the life and to the left, and I look at this temporary easement of my pain, and I'll get back recentered, and I start rejoicing in the pain because I know God's working in me. I start rejoicing in my deficit because, hey, this is where God's stronger. I get to see God show up. His word says so. So what it does is it gives me the strength to put one foot in front of the other. And guess what? That night, sure as day, God showed up and he answered the three things that I've been looking for. Now, did he answer them how I thought he was going to? No. Because naturally, I wanted them to answer it my way. But what God showed me was even better. You want to know why? Because it brought him glory. It brought him glory and it changed my purpose. Imagine if I would have said, you know what? I can't operate in this deficit no more. I'm going to pull over here and put a Band-Aid on this. I wouldn't have received what I was seeking. Because I was not willing to put myself in a deficit so God could be glorified in me. So quit focusing on what's to the left and to the right. You got to keep your eyes straight down the road. Number three, it strengthens the spirit and it weakens the flesh. We talked about that. So that's what food does. Food gives us strength to our flesh. It's obvious that I've tried to strengthen my flesh just a little bit too much. Okay? But that's what food does. It strengthens our flesh. Okay? But we need our flesh to be weakened. Because when our flesh is strong, it tries to take charge. Sonia taught about mind, body, and soul. That when the body's leading, it's a disaster. That when our flesh is in charge and it's in control, it's a bad thing. We need our spirit in control. So we have to step away from the thing that feeds our flesh and strengthen the very thing that we need to be led by, and that's the spirit. We didn't teach on walking in the flesh. We taught on walking in the spirit. So many of us are walking in the flesh, and we wonder why we can't gain no ground because we're relying on what we can do in our life. We're relying on what our finances can do, what our job can do, what our social status can do, what our spouse or our girlfriend can do. We're worried about what our flesh can accomplish, and our flesh can accomplish nothing but death. That's it. But our spirit, when our spirit's strengthened, then we come back centered again. Then we come back into that alignment. Then we get to walking in the spirit like we talked about last week. Does that make sense? Are y'all picking this up? Does this make sense to anybody? Okay, I don't want to go further. Am I just rambling? Okay, I want to make sure that y'all are getting it because this is one of the most powerful tools that you can have in your toolbox. You need to understand that fasting, the fact that it weakens our flesh and it strengthens our spirit, that's good news for us because it takes the reins out of our hand. It puts the ball back in God's court so God can do not only what he wants to do, but what he has determined to do from day one. See, some of us get hung up that God doesn't want to do nothing in my life, and that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. God didn't create you not to move in your life. He created you for relationship, number one, but then he created you for purpose. And in that purpose, he has to be able to do something. He designed every one of us for a purpose, and when you meet that purpose and reach that purpose, you'll find the greatest joy you've ever experienced. No job, no amount of money, or no social status, or no relationship will ever, ever, ever compare to being and doing what God's called you to do. Because the joy that comes knowing that you're in the parameters in which God called you to do, that's powerful. You want to know why? Because it brings us peace. That other stuff, there's chaos in it. Not saying it doesn't have its place, by all means. Not saying it doesn't have, I know some people that are very wealthy that are devoted to God. I'm not saying it doesn't have its place, and that's a whole nother sermon. Okay? But when we operate in the purpose in which God designed us to do, that's where we find that peace and strength. Number four, it softens the soil of our heart. We got to cultivate our heart. All right, we got to cultivate this soil. We got to dig it up. And here's why we got to dig it up. Because I can preach this stuff to you all day long. All right? I can sweat and fall and make you laugh and cry. And we can have the most profound speakers, the greatest music. I believe that Timber Creek Church has the greatest praise and worship music in this country. I believe that. I believe that we are phenomenal at what they do. I think that our worship team is absolutely amazing. I think Pastor Cody does an outstanding job. And we can sing those songs all day long. But guess what? If you don't let it get down in your heart, it's no good. It's no good. Uh-oh. What? That's God calling you to do a 40-day fast. Better answer that. Yeah. I'm going to pray for you. I'm. Thank you, Lord. Hey, ain't it good that you can laugh in the house of God? Hey, listen, church is supposed to be fun. Come on now. You can have some fun in here. That's all right. But it's soft. Hey, it brings freedom. If you study Isaiah 58, there's an amazing story in there, but it brings freedom. Fasting frees you up. But hey, if you can't allow God to soften your heart through these processes, you're not going to get everything that God wants. You think about a garden that's been tilled up. Okay? And you till up a garden. Imagine just scattering seed on top of untilled soil. It just washes away. But when you have soil that's been tilled up and cultivated and it's deep and rich, and those seeds fall in there, and then you cover them up, and hey, they're planted, and what happens is these big, strong roots grow, and then you got this root system. And if you ever studied root systems, they don't just go straight down. They sprig to the left and to the right and forward and back, and it's basically a forest underneath the ground. That's what God wants you to, that's how God wants us to be in our walk. He wants our root system to grow strong. That way, when the storms come, we're not easily swayed. When the storm starts screaming at our house and in our families and our life and our finances and whatever we're dealing with, we're so rooted in the Word of God and the presence of Jesus, we just sway a little bit. We're like a duck on water. We may be going 90 miles out underneath the water, but we're just as calm as we can be. That's what roots do. Fasting does that because it cultivates your heart to where you receive this stuff more. And when you get it down inside of you, it becomes your DNA. It becomes second nature to you. And when it becomes second nature to you and we start walking this thing out, that's when you start getting power. That's when you start walking with the left and the right foot and you start moving and you quit looking to the left and to the right, quit looking for these band-aids in your life because you're rooted in the truth and the Word of God. Fasting does that for us. Powerful tool, people. Powerful tool. So look, and number five, hey, write this one all day. It brings results. I promise you, fasting's changed my life. I do it every week. I don't say that braggingly. The reason I fast every week, I need it. I need it. Number one, physically I need it. But spiritually, I need it. I need it. I can't make it through a seven-day week successfully without the presence of God. I can't. I've tried to. I'm a mess. I'm a mess. I'm a terrible husband, a horrible boss. I told Ty today I was the greatest dad I've ever made, but so I'm still a pretty good dad. No, that's a joke. Talia was in that Better Parent Lunch and said, has anybody in here been a 100% parent? I was like, yeah, I have. She almost kicked me out. But hey, it brings results. It does. Fasting brings results. Is show of hands, does anybody in here want some results in their spiritual walk? Show of hands. I got some holding two hands up. That's what I'm talking about, sister. Hey, you want some results? Test fasting. Test it. See what it does. It's powerful. It'll change your life. So remember, prayer connects us to God. Fasting disconnects us from the world. So when you take prayer and you pair it with fasting, you get results. The combination of prayer and fasting should bring results. And it does. And it does. I love fasting for this. This is one of the main reasons I love fasting. Because it gives me something independently to do on my behalf to watch God move in my life. Number one. And there's another powerful thing about fasting is you can do intercessory fasting. I'm fasting for some people right now that needed someone to stand up and fast for them. You know how powerful it is that we have the ability to take a physical application that has spiritual results for somebody else. And when we begin to fast and pray for someone else, we watch God move mountains in their life. Come on, encounter. Come on. Do you know how much this team prayed and fasted for each and every one of y'all before y'all ever come in the door? The result of this is a lot of it is through prayer and fasting. Would y'all agree with that? Team, would y'all agree with that? Amen. Hey, we pray and fast for this team because we believe in it. We don't just teach this stuff, we use it. We believe in it. We believe in separating ourselves from these things that we deem so important. One of the things that I learned in fasting is I realized I don't have to have as much food as I thought I needed. God showed me a whole lot of fasting. He showed me how to close my mouth in multiple ways. It really did. And there's power in the fact that when I put myself in a deficit, when I weaken myself, the very existence in me of the Holy Spirit is strengthened. So when I'm weak, I am strong. Some of y'all are in here are weak today, and it's because your flesh is weak, but you're not strengthening your spirit. See, God wants you to strengthen your spirit. That's where the prayer comes in. That's where that conversation with God comes in. Hey, if there's some things in your life that you have prayed about, there's some stories in the Bible where God says, hey, some of these things only happen through prayer and fasting. The thing you're trying to accomplish, it doesn't happen with prayer alone. It happens through prayer and fasting. So if there's some things in your life that you're sitting here saying, man, I really need some answers for that, I challenge you to pray and fast. And we're going to talk about how to set it up here after the break. And then if you truly, 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 and I want everybody to hear this and we're going to go to break. If you truly, truly, truly want all that you can get out of this encounter experience, and you truly want God to move in your life in this, and to show up in ways you never thought possible, I challenge you after this class to fast. I promise His word does not return void, and I promise God will move in your life out of obedience. It doesn't say if you pray and fast, it says when you pray and fast. It's not an option. It's something that should be part of the Christian life. I'm going to break us for break, and we're going to come back after break, all right? And we're going to build one of these, all right? We're not just going to give you these tools. We're going to walk through this thing in the back of the book, and we're going to build it, and I'm going to show you and lay out for you how powerful this is, okay? Let me break us for break. Father, we thank you. We love you. God, we just thank you for bringing us back in here with new cultivated hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go take a look at everybody. We got everybody back inside. Hey, Jana, will you check, make sure everybody's in? No. All right. Everybody get some good cookies and stuff. I tell you what, I don't do this much, but where's the baker? Hey, baker. Justin Keyser, raise your hand. Justin and Jennifer Keyser, hey, They bless us with a lot of this food every night. I'm going to tell you, that's a servant's heart. Jennifer, raise your hand. They own Grando's Bakery. I'm not, yeah, just thank y'all. I'm not promoting them, but hey, they got good food. Justin, I want my cut, you know, 10%. No, they really are. They just got a huge servant's heart, man. They give. Hey, you know what the great thing about giving is? It's God does call you to give of your treasures, but he also calls you to give of your time and your talents. Okay? That's a big part of what God's calling. And the three T's of giving: time, treasures, and talents. And I can tell you, it's the blessing that God pours out on your life when you give like that. And I appreciate y'all very much. Thank y'all. So we're fixing to move to the second half of this. And if you look back in your appendix B, C, I'm sorry. And it's the seven basic steps for effective fasting and prayer. I don't know what page it is in y'all's book. It's 47 in the teacher manuals. What is it? 41. 41. Mr. Light said it's 41. 41. Thank you, Mr. Light. When everybody's there, we'll... Everybody there? All right, page 41. So basically what we're going to do is... I don't want to just... Did y'all get something out of that first about just the customization of what fasting is? And about how it can apply to our life and the power of it and just what really where God can customize this thing? And does everybody at this point feel like there's a potential that they could fast? Does everybody feel like that? Before we move, is anybody in here completely confused about fasting? But you be honest. Praise God. Okay, if you are, come see me after class and I'll help you with this because I firmly believe in it, but I don't want to move forward because, listen, if we're not learning together as a family, I told y'all we was going to be family in this thing. If we're not moving together as a family and moving together as one unit, we don't want to leave nobody behind. And if there's something that you're not understanding, hey, we don't want to move to the next thing. We want you to understand what we're doing. We want you to understand what we're talking about because we want you to be able to apply these things. Okay, we don't ever want anybody to leave here saying, I just don't get it. That's what your team is here for. So if you have any questions about any of this, please ask your table host. I know they know how to fast because we required of them. At least they tell us they fast, so. No. Okay, so seven basic steps for effective fasting. Number one, hey, set your objective. You got to set your objective. What is your objective? What are you fasting for? All right, when we go into a fast, so I had a sister call me last week, just really struggling with something. And I said, what specifically are you struggling with? And she shared me what she was struggling with. And I said, okay, I tell you what. I knew God was calling me. I said, I'm in the middle of a fast right now. I'm going to add you to my fast. And I'm going to specifically pray over this specific situation, this specific area in your life that you're really needing to see God move in. And when I began to pray about God, I said, God, how long do you want me to do this? He said, until she tells you to stop. And I was like, well, she's got a pretty weird sense of humor. She might not ever check up. But the reason he told me that is because I know for a fact that when God breaks through this thing completely, she'll call and tell me. But until then, I can't keep my foot off the gas. Is Michaela back in the room? Michaela, can you raise your hand? You left me hanging a while ago, sister. Hey, the term consistency compounds comes from that brilliant lady right there, and I absolutely love that. Thank you. So I told him I was going to call you out when you come back to class. So anyway, so I told her I'm going to do it, and I called her, and I said, God's told me to fast until you tell me to stop. So I began to fast for, and I've been fasting for quite a while. Here's what's cool. Am I through fasting for? Absolutely not. Here's what's awesome about it, though, is that weekly she'll call and say, hey, God, tell me a little bit. There's a little bit more. God's starting to put the puzzle pieces together. He's creating a masterpiece. It's beautiful. These answers are starting to come together. And this thing that she was seeking for was so complex and so layered that God just couldn't poof like a genie and make it happen because she'd have thought she accomplished something on her own. So God starts putting this piece here and this piece and this what was small is now affecting this big area, and I'm watching it transform, and it started transforming, no joke, when I began to fast for her. I set an objective. God gave me the objective. I asked her, what is it that I need to fast for? What is it in your life that you need to fast for? And here's the beautiful thing. You don't have to just fast for one thing. You can fast for a multitude of things. I fast for a lot of things because, if you know me, I've got a lot of stuff I need. I ask God a lot of questions. There's a lot of things in my life that I desire for God to reveal to me. And so I'm a little complex. I know God probably gets tired of hearing from me sometimes saying, that boy right there is wearing me out. Golly, Justin, give me a break. Now, I know he loves to hear from me, I hope, because he's going to. But I have these objectives. So you set your objective, right? You need to know. So when I started my weight loss program, when I started this thing, I had an objective, and my objective was not to die. That's what my objective was. I just don't want to die today. So I dieted for like 6 months and lost some weight, and then I had a new objective. I was like, okay, I'm going to go back to the gym, okay? My objective in the gym was, when I started out, was if I could get 10 minutes on the treadmill without fainting, that was my objective for the day. No joke. Y'all can laugh. It's okay. I know it's funny. I was like, if I can get 10 minutes in this joker without dying, I'm going to be good. Now, I have a completely new objective in the gym. You know what it is? I love to make people look at me crazy. I live for it. So when I go into the gym, okay, I'm a big old dude. I dress all crazy. I do. I wear sweatbands that are made out of shirts and bright bandanas and shirt. You just have to see it. Anyway, I get in the mirror and I flex and I don't look at them and I get these little weights and I start, ooh, ooh, ooh. Just, yeah, big old 300-pound man just flexing on these 5-pound weights and you can see him going. That's my new objective because I just like to jack with people. I know that has nothing to do with this, but do what? Anytime Fitness in Nacogdoches, come see me. Who is that? Who is that? JT, anytime, brother. Hey, I'm there from 11 o'clock to 12. I'll embarrass you too. Come on. I promise. Won't bother me a bit. I love it. But set your objective. I know that has nothing to do with this class, but I thought it was a good story. Set your objective. You need to know what you're going to accomplish, because if you don't know what you're going to accomplish, you don't know what you're seeking for. When God shows up and do it, you're going to miss it because you don't know what you're there for. So number one, we're going to set our objective. Number two, you got to make a commitment. You have to make your commitment. You got to commit. I said a while ago, it's not about how tough the fast is, the condition of your heart. Make a commitment that doesn't set you up for failure. If you haven't fasted before, don't go into a 21-day Daniel fast. Seriously, you got to start somewhere. I didn't go into the gym and try to hit 2 miles because I was just glad I didn't fall down on the treadmill the first day when the belt started spinning. I was just glad when I started lifting weights and my pants didn't rip. Seriously. I had to start somewhere. What if I'd have went in there and I'd have said, you know what? I'm gonna go in here and I'm gonna do 5 miles and I'm gonna lift. I'm gonna do 600 reps today and I'm gonna run for 5 miles. I would have set a goal that I could not obtain, and what would have happened? I'd have left disappointed. But when I killed those 5 minutes, I strutted out of that joker. I was like, shoot, why didn't I 5.15 miles today? I lied to Whitney and told her I did 2 miles. But that's okay. She's not in here. Are you in here? No, she's not in here. But I made a commitment, okay? And I made a commitment to go into that gym every single day, no matter what. And I made a commitment to get better every day. Now, those steps were baby steps. But I consistently made a commitment to show up. And it has been a tough, tough process, but it's been a very rewarding process. And, hey, I still got a long ways to go, okay? But I'm still committed to the process. If you can't make a commitment in this, guys, you're going to fail. But you have to make a commitment that you can live up to. So you seasoned people that have fasted before, even in that, don't overcommit yourself to something just to try to see these great rewards, because we cannot win the rewards of God. We can't. We can't outdo someone else to get more love and more presence of God. It doesn't work like that. He just wants a heart condition. He wants effort. That's what God wants. He wants to know that we're trying to draw closer to Him. We're trying to experience Him more. And so when you make a commitment, I want you to write that out to the side. Make a commitment that I can live up to. And even if you want to put a little note that says, set yourself up for success. I think that's very important that we set ourselves up for success. I'm going to give you all just a second to write that. I think that's very important. Y'all got it? So we're going to make a commitment, and then we're going to determine what kind of fast we're going to do in that commitment. Okay? And my wife did this. I watched my wife fast. I watched her fast quite a bit. And one of the things she does is she's got a board at the house, and she writes her fast out. And then she'll write on a little card, and she puts it in her car to remind herself. And so she sees what she's fasting, and it's powerful. She's got her fast wrote out. She's got her objective, when she's going to fast, and all of these different things. So she makes this commitment to fast, and then she makes this scheduled plan of what she's going to do. And I think organizational fasting is so powerful. That's the reason why we're going over this, because when you organize this fast and you make a good game plan, we're making a game plan right now for success. We're taking this tool out of the box. We're charging the battery. We're getting the right drill bits. We're getting the right spade bits. We're getting the right whatever we need. We're getting the right box of screws. We're getting ready to build this thing with these power tools. We're making a game plan for fasting, okay? Number three, we're going to prepare ourselves spiritually. To me, this is one of the most important things. How do we prepare ourselves spiritually? There's a couple of these I want to look at real quick. Number one, this is a big one to me, is surrender yourself fully to Christ Jesus as Lord and Master. Refuse to obey your worldly nature. Now, we've gone over salvation. All right. And if there's still anyone in here underneath the sound of my voice that doesn't know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, please see one of us after class. We don't want to go another day without you not knowing Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. But when it says fully surrender, we got to surrender to God the things that we got to get to a place where we say, "Here, God, I give up. I give up. I'm tired of doing life Justin's way. I surrender my will to you. I surrender myself to you, and I receive your will. And here I am. I'm a cultivated vessel for you to move in." And so we have to be able to fast like this. Surrender. We have to be willing to open our arms up to the heavens and say, "God, I've got some junk in my life. I've got some things inside of me." And so, what are some of the things we do to surrender? Number one is repent. You got to repent. If you're dealing with some sin in your life, you're hanging on to something, that little closet of your life that you don't want Jesus to come into, you know what I mean? That little thing says, "You can have all of this over here, but God, I'm going to hang on to this right here." If you want to hang on to it, He'll let you. All right? But the disaster that comes with that, just know there's disaster that comes with that little closet you want to hang on to. God says He wants you to fully surrender. Okay, so we have to be willing to repent of these things and give these things to God so God can move in our life. And listen, you have to do this with an expectant heart. You can't go into this fast saying, "Well, He does it for them, I doubt He's going to do it for me." Well, then He's not. If you go into it and say, "Well, God, He ain't going to show up in my life." If you have that attitude going to that fast, it's going to be very difficult for you, number one, to stay committed. Okay, but number two, it's hard for God to work into that when you're saying, "God, you're not going to do this anyway." You're not going to guilt God into moving. I tried it. You're not going to guilt God into making things happen in your life. Okay? And then the last one, and I want you to be aware of this, is listen, when you start fasting, be ready for opposition. Be ready for opposition and be prepared for opposition. Because when you start fasting, when you start igniting this spiritual tool that glorifies God and brings you strength, and brings you promise and this potential and this purpose, when you pull this tool out of the toolbox and begin to apply it in your life, All right, there's going to be opposition because he says, oh, hang on a second. He's breaking out a tool. All right, he's fixing to crank up this power drill. We got to find some way to kill that battery source. We got to find some way to kill his energy, to kill his drive and his desire to do this thing. So you're going to face opposition. You're going to have that friend call you and say, hey, dude, let's go out to eat. Let's go hit CC's up. They got a new buffet pizza. Pizza on the buffet. Let's go. Whatever it is. You know what I mean? It's or if you're doing a social media fast, you're going to have someone call and say, oh, man, did you see what happened on Facebook? You got to go to Facebook. You got to see what happened here. Those are oppositions. Those are temptations. Those are things that come in to your life. I can tell you one of the greatest things you can have when you're fasting is an accountability partner. It's one of the greatest things you can have. I have some really good accountability partners in my life, and when I fast, I share them my fast. I don't share it with everybody else. I share it with them, and why do I do that? Because they're the people that are closest to me, and they're the people that I do stuff with. And so social events, when I'm fasting, listen, the people that are in my life, when they know I'm fasting, hey, they go as far as creating environments that don't make me stumble. I try to do the same for them, all right? Sonia Bonner is one of my dearest friends, and she loves my bread pudding. Amen, Sonia. Whoop! And her beloved, ground-serving, humble husband Bubba, loves my flan. Amen, Bubba? Amen. So if they're fasting sweets, I'm not going to make flan and bread pudding when they come over to my house. I'm going to eat it when they leave. Because I don't want to be the opposition that makes them stumble. Okay? So expect opposition. Expect opposition. Number four, prepare yourself physically. We talked about this in commitment. But when you're preparing yourself physically, remember, you got to set a goal like we talked about that you can do. So if you've never done it, start small. Start by fasting a snack. Or start by fasting one drink a day, one soda a day, or whatever it is that's tough for you to fast. So like, look, I think cauliflower is cultivated and born and raised in the valleys of hell. I do. I think it's the devil's broccoli. If it come down to me dying and eating cauliflower, I'll see y'all on the other side. I think it is wretchedly horrible. And listen, if you ever cook for me, don't you think you're going to sneak cauliflower in as potatoes on me. I know. You can't put enough sour cream, bacon bits, and cheese in that poisonous stuff to cover it up. You're not fooling me. I know what cauliflower tastes like. So quit trying to fool me. Get behind me, Satan. And I don't drink, okay? I don't drink. So I can't go into a fast and say, all right, God, I'm going to fast beer and cauliflower. I can't do that. It doesn't work like that. If it did, I'd be the greatest faster in the world. So you have to, when you prepare yourself physically, and we're giving up something that we're used to, because you're really going into a deficit. Choose something and prepare something physically. And so when you're making that commitment and you're setting your objective and you're setting your goal and you're determining what fast you're doing, all right, physically be ready. And so a dear, dear friend of mine is starting a fast in the morning, okay? And she had talked to me about this fast in the beginning of the week. And she was asking me some information on how to do it. So I give her the information. So today and yesterday, she went to the store and she got the foods necessary for this fast. I have printed up and emailed her this outline of a fast, so she has the parameters. She knows what she can have and what she can't have, and she's went to the store, and she's physically bought the stuff that she needs for this fast to be successful. You may have to empty out some of your cabinets if you have to. That is truly something I had to do when I began to fast, is I had to empty out some cabinets because I was so addicted to food that when I tried to spiritually fast, my fleshly addiction overtook what God was trying to do in me spiritually. Seriously. And so she's went, and so she has prepared herself physically for success. Set yourself up for success. Don't set yourself up for failure. Number five, put yourself on a schedule. What works for you? Some of us work nights. Some of us work normal hours. Some of us go to work at 9 o'clock and get off at whatever. We all have different work schedules. We all have different health issues. All right. Sometimes we need to eat now, and sometimes whatever it may be. Put yourself on a schedule. Find that schedule of when you're going to do this. And listen, when you go into this fast and you put yourself on a schedule, you know what fast you're going to do. You have prepared yourself physically. You have spent time in the Word. All right, you have prayed about this fast. You can't just jump into this thing on the way home and say, you know what? I ain't never eating bread again. I'm going to fast bread for the next 2. That's emotional. Emotional fasting will leave you disappointed. It really will. Emotional fasting will set parameters and boundaries and goals that you can't obtain. So don't be an emotional faster. Be a strategic faster. Okay? And strategically create a plan. And so what I would do if I was y'all is I would encourage y'all is when you go home tonight, begin to pray about this and begin to think about this. And over the next couple of days, I would truly encourage y'all by Tuesday to have a good game plan. And why is that important? Because we're fixing to go into a break. We don't have Encounter next week. Okay? And it's spring break. We're taking a break, and then we come back for the back half of it. And listen, the enemy would love more than anything to take that time to draw you away from what God's doing in your life. He would say, you know what, you're on a break. And it's a slow drift. Who in here likes going to the beach? I love it. I look great in a swimsuit. I do. I love running up down the beach like Baywatch. I'll go David Hasselhoff on in a heartbeat, son. I love the beach. Okay? But how many of you ever been on a float? Okay? And you're sitting on that float, and you doze off, and all of a sudden you wake up, and you're a lot further away from the shore than you started, but you never felt it. Well, that's what the enemy wants to do in our lives. All right, he wants to take our time when we step away and have this break from God. He says it's a slow drift, okay? This is something our team prayed about before y'all come in here. It's about dropping anchors. So I love to fish. And so when I get to a place I'm fishing at, a lot of times you have to drop your anchor to hold you on that point. But if you ever, anybody ever fish, when you pull an anchor up, set in a boat, and you go to putting your lines and stuff back in your boat, and the waves are rolling, and you look up, you didn't feel it, but you're no longer at that same point you were at. There was a slow drift. The waves have pulled you or pushed you away from where you were. God has you at a place right now, okay, that you're growing. God has each and every one of y'all in a process right now that's drawing him closer to you. Drop your anchor. Drop your anchor in the presence of God. How do I drop my anchor? You drop your anchor by spending time in the Word of God. You drop your anchor by praise and worship. You drop your anchor by consistently showing up and making time for Jesus. You drop your anchor in generosity. You drop your anchor in serving others and being the husband you're called to be the wife you're called to be. You drop your anchor in being the parent you're called to be. But most of all, you drop your anchor in seeking out God. And one of the greatest tools that you can do in order to drop your anchor is fasting. You want to draw closer. See, I don't believe that we just have to remain where we're at tomorrow. I believe that each and every one of us have the opportunity to draw closer to Christ tomorrow. We have that ability, that opportunity, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and because he has a unique design for each and every one of us. We have that opportunity and the ability to know him more even tomorrow. So why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we grow in this time? I prayed for 100% return when we come back in after spring break. I do, because I know how the enemy works, because he sees the power of what's going on in God's house, and he hates it. He hates it. And I promise you, some of y'all are going to come back week 5 and be like, "Oh, let me tell you what he tried to do to me." I know. I've been there. I'm there. He tries to do it to me all the time. And I have to drop my anchor. And one of the things that brings me back to the center, like we're talking about, is fasting. That's why we're talking about, we have a whole section on fasting. You want to know why? It's that important. It's that important. It's that powerful. If it wasn't that important and that powerful to this process, we would not have it in this manual, because there's so much more we could teach on. So much more we could teach on. But we know the power of this spiritual tool, and we know if you ever get a hold of it and find the power and the purpose of it for yourself, you will move mountains in your life, I promise. God will change your life. He'll change your life in ways you never could imagine through fasting. All right, number six, end your fast gradually. When you begin to fast, all right, when you begin to fast, just for easy, let's just say you fasted all soda waters for a week. All right, and then Monday comes back around and your fast is over. Don't go drink a 12-pack of Coke. Don't do it. Ease back into it, okay? Gradually work your way back into it. Don't just all, I mean, because that was one of the biggest things that I would do is I would fast. And I told you I was transparent. I'll tell you all anything. I would fast and actually have some success at it, and then I'd eat 2 weeks worth of food in one sitting when I got out of it. Yeah. I was like, shoot, well, I did good on that fast. It's not that it spiritually did something to me. It physically did something to me. And I promise you, God cares about the physical body too, because this is his temple. He cares about our bodies. He cares about what we put in and how we treat our body. That was one of the, that was the number one reason why I started my journey. All right, number two is because I didn't want to die. But my number one was how can I be what God's called me to be when I'm sitting up here living in this obvious sin? My body did not represent what God wanted me to be. I spiritually I could speak it, but physically I didn't represent what God had called me to be. So it's very hard. It was convicted me, because God cares. I know God cares about my spiritual side, but he cares about my physical side too. And so when you end your fast, end it in a gradual state to where it doesn't make you sick. Your fast shouldn't make you sick. Okay? Don't just get off of it and jump into it. As a matter of fact, when you begin to fast, there's a lot of the things that we put in our body that we think's okay, that you'll look up and you'll come out of a fast and be like, you know what? I really didn't need that anyway. One of the things that I did, there were some things in my life at Facebook, I fasted it and realized just how much it consumed my time. And I stepped away from it 5 years ago and I've never picked it back up. It's one of the greatest decisions I've ever made. All right? And it because I fasted it because I needed it, and God showed up in my life and it was an encounter. I was fasting it for encounter. And I haven't picked it up again. And so I could have easily done it and then jumped right back to where I was. Okay? So when you get off of your fast, don't just gradually do it. Take care of yourself, okay? And then number seven, expect results. We talked about this. Hey, put an expectation on God. You know, my children expect something from me every day. They expect me to clothe them. Right? They expect me to feed them. They expect me to have electricity on. They have these expectations for me. That's my responsibility. You know what? I have expectations on God every day. He says he provides for me. I have an expectation that God's going to provide for me because his word says I'm going to provide for you. I have an expectation of protection because God says I protect you, son. I have expectations for God in my life. I think that, you know, it's good to have expectations. I expect God to show up and do things in my life. If I couldn't have an expected heart toward Christ, if I couldn't look at my father and say, you know what, I have an expectancy that you're going to move in my life, what excitement would I have about serving him? If we're not serving God out of an expecting heart, we don't serve him to receive something. Now don't hear what I'm not saying. But his word says when you do this, this happens. So I have an expectation. I have an expectation that because I'm a good steward financially, that's God's going to bless my finances. Does that mean God's going to make me rich? No. I know God's not going to make me financially rich. You want to know why? I'd mess it up. I'm being serious. He keeps me grounded. But am I blessed financially? You bet. I haven't missed much. I don't go without. I've never missed a meal. My electricity's never been cut off. All right? I don't, and God takes care. I expect God's hand to be on my finances because I give. I expect God's hand to be in my marriage because I'm the greatest husband in the world. Amen, baby. Oh, I didn't see you back there. Hey. But I have these expectancies of God. I expect things from Him. And you know what? He doesn't disappoint. But when I put expectations on myself, you know how many times I've disappointed Justin? How many times I've disappointed my wife and kids? Okay, because when you put expectations on people, they will fail you. But when we put expectations on the things above, when we put expectations in God's hand, God doesn't fail us. So you can expect results from fasting. If you go into this fast with the right heart, I'm not telling you to be perfect in it. None of us are. But you go into your fast with the right heart, the right frame of mind, build you a plan, choose your fast, pray and repent, right, and have an expected heart for God, I promise you God will show up. So what we're fixing to do now is we're fixing to spend some time. There's an appendix in your book where we're going to get to start writing this out. Now look, you don't have to complete this right now. All right, I'm not telling you, hey, you got to have this thing. Do what? Oh, I thought somebody said something. I'm sorry, I'm hearing things. I'm not saying you have to, all right, but we got some time. I want you to stop and spend some time in this. And if you have a question, ask your table host. But spend some time and begin to write some ideas down on set your objective, make your commitment, determine your type. And if you need to go back in your notes, go back in your notes. And we want to spend some time because we want to help you build this plan. We want you to leave here today with a good idea and a good basis of what fast that you would like to go into. Because not only do we want you to see what this fast is, we want to challenge this class to go into a fast. We want to challenge y'all as we leave out of here next week that this entire, hey, let me tell y'all something profound. If this entire room was to 100% commit to fasting over this next week, God would transform lives. You hear me? If we would all say, you know what? I'm going to do my part. You can't make the person to the left or the right of you do it, but I'm going to do my part. I'm going to create this fast. I'm going to design this fast, and I'm going to set myself up for success, and I'm going to fast this, and this for this X amount of time. If every one of us in this classroom did it, you watch the results when we come back. Watch the stories and the transformation in people's life. Does that sound cool? I don't know about y'all, but I would love to come back week 5 and this song and just be transformed. It doesn't happen because of this class. It's going to happen because of God. Well, we have the ability to start that right now. We have this opportunity. So we're going to play some music. We're going to take some time. If you got some questions, hey, we're going to give y'all about 20 minutes on this thing. Okay? Take about 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes on this fast, and then we'll come back and we'll close out.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to be mindful of your time, so we're going to give you about another minute to kind of wrap it up. You can finish this at home or actually go back over to his home as well, okay? About one more minute. I'll be your shelter. Tonight, let's hear it for Justin. He's very dedicated. He's very serious about what he does, and the Lord uses him in a mighty way. A couple things we just want to remind you of. Number one, whatever you decide to fast, whatever the Lord reveals to you, we encourage you to contact your table host. A cord of three is not easily broken. You, yourself, and your table host can come in agreement that you will be successful. The second thing I want you to understand and to remember is obedience is greater than sacrifice, okay? You can sacrifice as much as you want, and it's not how much I sacrifice will be a bigger revelation or I will get a bigger return. No, 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 no. It's about the obedience in which you do it in. Several years ago, I had a young man come to me that he was new in church, but he was really on fire and he really wanted to serve the Lord. He understood that fasting was something that you gave up, that you enjoyed, that you liked. So his deal, and this is honest to God truth, honest to God truth, he came to me and he said, Bubba, I'm going to give up beer for a week. I mean, what do you say to that? He said, I'm going to give up beer for a week. I enjoy coming in the afternoon and drinking a couple. It's hot, yada, yada, yada. But see, here's the thing. We would laugh at that. We would think that's ridiculous. But to him, in his mind, in his understanding of his relationship with the Lord, that was something that was important to him. Let me tell you what happened. That boy gave up beer. The next week, he said, you know, I made it through the week without it, and I just don't think I need it anymore. Obedience. Who would have thought about giving up Budweiser? And the Lord is going to speak to you. But because of his obedience, not what he sacrificed, his obedience, the Lord honored that. And he's going to do you the same way. He is going to do you the same way. Now, also be understood, the devil is going to attack. Now, he's going to come to you and everything he says to you is going to make sense, but it's not the truth. There's a difference. It may make sense, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's the truth. You understand? You have to understand that he's going to come to you and he's going to say, fasting beer? Are you kidding me? Them are church people up there. And it's going to make sense. Well, yeah, maybe I shouldn't. He's going to put that doubt. He's going to put that confusion. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not of doubt and of confusion. You continue to be obedient in what you desire and what you're going to do, and you will see results. We had a very interesting, I just feel like I need to share this real quick. We had a lady sit right over here just a couple years ago. And for the retreat, I want you to understand something. On the retreat, she came to me and she said, her family lived in Florida. She had moved here. She came and she said, Bob, I haven't seen my family in 6 months. I've been saving money to go home. But the Lord has told me that I need to pay this money to go to the retreat. I said, you are going to pay to go to the retreat and not go home and see your family. No, the Lord is going to bless me. I asked her 3 times to make sure I understood what he said, and we did it one night, and Whitney was supposed to close, and I said, Whit, let me say something. I called that little lady to the front, and I explained to the people what they were doing, what she was doing. Yes, she was sacrificing not seeing her family, but her obedience was greater than the sacrifice of not seeing her family. Let me tell you what the Lord did. At break, I had a couple come to this door, and they said, come here. Has she already paid her money? Yes. Give it back to her. We want to pay it for her. Oh, it gets better. Break's not over, and there's a gentleman came to me and said, look, I'm going to fly her to Florida. I call her back up front. I said, guys, we got to. And here's what is so cool. Not only was she blessed, but the people that heard from the Lord that blessed her with giving her money back and flying her to Florida was blessed as well because of her obedience greater than her sacrifice. Crazy. That's why the Lord works, y'all. Just be obedient. Expect the devil to attack you. Now, for the next 2 weeks, then we're not going to meet next week. Is that correct? No encounter next week. So guess what's going to happen? Buddy, you're going to dig in, baby. Because the devil's coming. He is not going to stand by, and he's not going to say, Victor, dude, I hope that fasting thing works out for you. Let me know, I may try it. Good luck with that Jesus thing, man. No. He's going to unleash hell on you, I'm just telling you. And there's tons of scriptures in the Bible for you to quote scripture to him and look him in the face, but the easiest thing for you to do is look him straight in the face and say, shut up. Shut up. Now, you better believe it when you say it, because he's going to see you with you. You really mean it. But the more you press into the Lord and the more your obedience to the Lord is, he's going to protect you. He's going to bring those scriptures to your mind. He's going to bring the teaching that you've been sitting under for the past 4 weeks back to your memory, and you're going to say, I'm not in this by myself, and I realize who I am. I am the child of the Almighty God. That's who I am. And shut up. And you can do it. Not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. Amen. Let's hear it for Justin and this team one more time, y'all. Fantastic. Fantastic. Now, we're going to be excited to hear when we come back some good testimonies. And if you're sacrificing beer, let us know. Let us know. It's amazing how that young man prospered because of his obedience, sacrificing Bud Light. Amen. Thank you guys for coming. It's all going to get better. It's fixing to get better, and you are going to walk across on dry land, and you are going to get to your promised land. You understand? Pray. Okay. I thought you were saying house. Invite them to the house? Everybody's invited to Zane's house. No, that's not it. We didn't work on signals. We're not a catcher. If the Astros were here, they'd steal it. But hey, but that's baseball, dude. You're griping about baseball. That's everybody tries to steal signals. I mean, good. They just got caught. How do we get on that? I'm an Astros fan. Go Nolan Ryan. Hey, okay, let's pray. We're going to get everybody out of here. Thank you so much for coming. Father God, we just thank you. We're not asking you for nothing, but we are thanking you with hands up, palms open, and an open heart and mind to what you have for each one of us, that we are going to walk across on dry land, and that we are going to possess that land in which you have promised us. And right now, you're preparing us in the desert to get ready for doing what we need to do on the other side. I thank you for giving each one of us the ability to take these tools and weapons and to apply them to our daily life, to be the men and women that the Lord, that you have put us on this earth to do the day we were born. I pray blessings over every household here, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, financially, vocationally, and yes, even sexually, that you will keep us pure in every avenue and walk of our life, focused on what you have for us, and we give you all the glory, all the praise for loving us the way you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, by the way, this is Iglesia? Where are you guys? Where are y'all? I thought, man, there we go. I mean, come on, man. And this is Caleb's. The Caleb's over here. We probably need to change that to the Sarah's or something, maybe. There's no Caleb's. Where is our young people? Our young adults. Here's some right here. Ooh. Exciting bunch there. And then we have one more group. Who is that? Oh, it's the Nacogdoches. I hear you. Hey, thank every one of you for coming. You are making a difference in wherever you're working, and keep up the good work. See you in 2 weeks.